So next up we have Dolores Chu, who will be speaking. And Dolores is a founding member of the South Asian Women's Community Center in Montreal and a member of the March 8th Committee of Women of Diverse Origins Collective, a teacher at Marianopolis College, and a research assistant at the Simone de Beauvoir Institute, and a member of the board of CIRAS, the Centre sur l'Asie du Sud. So, welcome, Dolores.
Good afternoon, and thank you everybody for coming out on this afternoon. It had been glorious. The sun went down, maybe it'll come out again. To sit indoors, to listen, and to share. This whole week, which really began last Saturday with the 8th March Committee's International Women's Day event, has provided many very inspiring and informative presentations, and they're continuing. This afternoon, I particularly want to thank the organizers of this panel, the Simone de Beauvoir Institute, and the Women's Studies Association of Concordia, and especially Erin Lakoff, Meg Leetall, Kinneret, and I think there are a few other people whose names I don't know about, so thank you all very much. A cabaret. The context in which Lillian Robinson and I met up is telling of Lillian, who she was and what she did. It was just after 9/11, and the war drums had started beating. Afghanistan was attacked. Anti-war activism was in full swing in Montreal. And Lillian and I found ourselves speaking together on panels in several places. We jokingly referred to ourselves as the cabaret. I, of course, had already heard about Lillian, the new principal of the Simone de Beauvoir Institute, someone who also wrote murder mysteries, a brilliant, what did she not know, and loquacious woman. Around the time that Lillian and I met, we, as in the South Asian Women's Community Center, were celebrating our 20th anniversary, and I invited Lillian, as the principal of the institute, to speak. She was honored to be asked. From then on, there was a bond. Lillian felt a particular attachment to the South Asian Women's Community Center, a grassroots feminist organization. Speaking truth to power, what I learned from Lillian and what I learned about Lillian. Lillian was an anti-racist, Marxist feminist and had an unfailing commitment to, as she often said, speaking truth to power. Over the years, as I got to know Lillian better, I realized that her life and politics had been shaped in the crucible of class, race, and women's struggles. As a young Jewish girl in New York, as a freedom writer in the American South during the Civil Rights Movement, or in Montreal at the turn of this century, power imbalances and their consequences were what brought out the fighting spirit in Lillian. And what a fighter she was. Many of us in Montreal remarked at her fearlessness. A new appointee, not quite permanent, freely speaking out against injustices, taking on the status quo, and actively supporting and sheltering those who were doing the same. Her protection and mentoring gave legitimacy and support to many individuals and movements. We are here this afternoon remembering Lillian in the context of Israeli Apartheid Week. It was not surprising that the power imbalance of the Israeli state with regard to the rights of the Palestinians to self-determination was something that Lillian took on full tilt. Because of her politics and worldview, Lillian was an anti-Zionist Jew. In the face of many epithets hurled at her, she was not willing to concede her Jewish identity. She defended her right to speak truth to Zionist and Israeli state power. She talked about the strong traditions in Judaism to debate, to defend those in need of protection. Her Jewish identity left her no option but to be a supporter of Palestinian rights. And I saw and heard her again and again speak eloquently and act to this end. At this point in time, Gaza weighs heavily on the world, but Gaza would not have happened if many others had spoken truth to power. And we must act so that future Gazas do not happen. In my day-to-day life, as a member of a feminist women's organization and as an educator, there are many issues I have come up against. in the classroom with feminism, haven't women achieved equal rights? And what more do they want? Or young women who are reaping the benefits of past feminist struggles who say, I'm not a feminist. In these instances, it's only by elaborating and comprehending how patriarchy continues to work through power structures and imbalances that exist despite legislative change that we can demonstrate that there's a long way to go. In the streets with race and identity, in Quebec, in the past years, we have been engaged in heated debates about multiculturalism, newcomers versus those who belong. We have seen that it is important to speak out and to organize. We spoke truth to power and successfully wrested the advantage, turning the arguments on their face. In the South Asian community, we challenge the power of class and tradition and bring the issues of migrant and refugee women to the forefront, challenging myths such as those that violence against women is culture and class specific. On the issue of Palestine, how do we work in speaking truth to Israeli state power and Zionist power? I and colleagues I work with as educators have been confronted with this for a long time, but with increasing frequency at this moment. Because young people have critical thinking hammered into them, they mistake taking a position with bias. Paradoxically, they also consider the ideologies they have been raised with as the correct ones, and they see anything different as partisan. In this context, taking a stand and breaking with class and family positions is very difficult. It is crucial for us to find ways to get them to critically recognize and analyze power imbalances and inequalities. We must also speak in terms they can understand, that it is about the underdog, but it is also about principles, and it is about international law. It is not about double standards. When one side has helicopter gunships, dime bombs, and the latest and most up-to-date killing technology, the chorus of self-defense against slingshots, homemade rockets, and suicide bombers only deflects and distracts from the central issue, a power imbalance. In confronting this, you have to constantly try and move to demonstrate that without justice, there can be no peace. In any discussion of violence, while we sit in our privileged living spaces, we need to reiterate that occupation is violence, that humiliation is violence, that in the face of constant frustration of self-determination, resistance will grow and deepen. No walls or barriers or checkpoints will bring peace and security. The legacy of Lillian Robinson is that anti-racist feminism brings clarity, and apartheid is always doomed.